you, Jim, for your perseverance. There was a time last week, we were not sure. Jim was not sure if we can pull this piece together, this greatly beautiful piece together. But Jim and choir members persevered, and we made it possible. Thank you. Thank you. For the last 5 weeks, we have looked at John Wesley's birth and family upbringing, education and teaching career, ministry in America and back in England. And over the last 2 Sundays, we learned about the Methodist heritage as we examined Wesley's understanding of God's grace and his teaching on works of piety and works of mercy. Today, we wrap up our sermon series called Revival by looking at the opposition Wesley faced and the perseverance he had throughout his life. John Wesley started his career as a professor at Oxford University. Once he was ordained in the Church of England, he began to preach, and his life was devoted to preaching as he led a church revival movement. As we have learned, Wesley preached 40,000 sermons, often preaching 4 to 5 times a day, and traveled 250,000 miles on foot, horseback, and by carriage all over Britain. And his sermons were frequently published. However, John Wesley was not recognized as the most eloquent preacher of his day, and that was perhaps for 2 reasons. First, his messages were rather simple and straightforward. About his sermons, the Oxford-educated priest and deep-thinking theologian Wesley said, "I design plain truth for plain people. I labor to avoid all words which are not easy to be understood, all which are not used in common life." Actually, he even read his written sermons to his maid and edited any word or any concept that she could not understand. Second, Wesley's sermons were too unnerving to many of his listeners. Wesley felt that most Christians and churches were in a state of spiritual sleep. He said that many who claimed to be Christians were only half a Christians or just almost Christians. And he challenged them to a deeper level of faith and more serious commitment to personal and social holiness. His words were convincing, convicting, and sometimes even condemning. Many of his hearers, especially his fellow priests and church leaders, were irritated or irritated and offended by his evangelical messages. Wesley used to be invited to preach at different churches on Sundays, as his fellow Oxford professors were. But once he began to preach such challenging messages, one by one, all the churches closed their doors to him. But they could not stop him from preaching. Finding the church pulpit closed off, Wesley took the message outside, outdoors, preaching in fields and marketplaces. At that time in England, every town had a market. And in the middle of it stood a cross, a visible reminder to merchants that Jesus Christ was watching them as they conducted their businesses. Here is a picture of one such cross that I took during my trip to England last spring. As you see, there are stairs at the bottom. Oh, yeah, maybe you can see a little bit, right? There are stairs at the bottom of the cross. Whenever Wesley went to a town to preach, he would go to that cross in its market. He would stand on the stairs and begin to sing hymns. And as people came to hear him sing, he would begin to preach. As Wesley drew crowds of people in fields and towns, priests and leaders of nearby churches felt threatened. So they accused Wesley of preaching without authorization and even hired local thugs to sabotage his preaching. Here is an example as recorded in Wesley's diary from August 28, 1748. At once I went to the cross in Bolton. There was a vast number of people, but many of them utterly wild. As soon as I began speaking, they began thrusting to and fro, endeavoring to throw me down from the steps on which I stood. They did so once or twice, but I went up again and continued my discourse. They then began to throw stones. At the same time, some got upon the cross behind me to push me down. Did they succeed in stopping Wesley from preaching that day? Of course not. Every time he was down, Wesley got up and resumed his preaching. Growing up, John Wesley had learned about perseverance from his father, Reverend Samuel Wesley. As you may remember from the first Sunday of our revival sermon series, a senior Wesley was never truly welcomed by the church he served at for almost 40 years. Can you believe that? Throughout his ministry, he was subjected to all kinds of opposition, including being thrown into jail and having his house set afire by the hands of his own church members. But he never gave up and continued to preach. Like his father, John was subjected to all kinds of harassment and attack in the beginning years of the Methodist movement. He was pelted with rotten tomatoes, manure, and stones. He was dragged and beaten with fists. Even homes where he stayed were set on fire. This was his weekly, if not daily, experience for the first 19 years of his outdoor preaching. However, he persevered. Wesley persevered through the opposition and never wavered in his evangelical effort. Perseverance. It is a word that perfectly describes the ministry of the first group of American missionaries to Korea. It seemed almost impossible for them to approach the locals whom they encountered when they first arrived on what was known as the Hermit Kingdom, a place closed off to foreigners for so long. Here is a portion of a prayer that was written by one of the American missionaries during that difficult period. Lord, I do not see anything now. The only thing I see is stubbornly stained darkness in this land. I cannot read the minds of Korean men. I do not know when I even can see the faces of Korean women as they hide in the covered litter. I cannot see the hearts of Korean people. I cannot see what we have to do. But Lord, I will obey and I believe. When we humbly obey ourselves, you begin your work. And there will be a day when we will be able to see what you do through our spiritual eyes. Faith is the reality of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. I believe I will be able to see the future faith of Koreans. Now we seem to be standing on the barren land. Now we are called Western ghosts. Now there is no church, no school. This is a place full of suspicion, despise, and contempt. But I believe it will soon be a land of grace. In the midst of the rejections they experienced by the people whose language they did not even speak, the first American missionaries in the Korean Peninsula persevered, and it was through their prayers. As a result, 133 years later, Korea is second to the United States for the number of missionaries scattered around the world. I don't know what would have happened to my home country if the first group of missionaries from America gave up because of those oppositions they faced in Korea and just went back home. Wesley also persevered through his prayers. Here is a picture of his bedroom. Rather small. Next to his bedroom is a tiny room where Wesley knelt to pray every morning and evening. If you have a chance to go to England, I encourage you to visit Wesley's house in London and have a privilege to pray at that kneeler as Wesley did. I did last time when I was there in that room, and it was an awesome, just awesome feeling to kneel at that place and think about those times Wesley prayed right in that room in that place. Here is a picture of his study room. This is where he wrote his sermons and kept his diary, recording his daily ministry activities and experiences. As Wesley unwaveringly continued his preaching throughout England, his church revival movement grew, and the opposition against Wesley's preaching decreased. By 1757, they had mostly stopped. And by his 60s, Wesley became a rather popular preacher. Churches now were inviting him to come and preach. By his 70s and 80s, he became a nationally well-known figure for his preaching and for his role in the church revival movement. With his brother Charles, John Wesley became one of the few graduates of Christ Church College at Oxford University, whose names are engraved, as you see, on the floor of one of the school's buildings. And his humble-sized portrait is hung on the wall of the great dining hall where the movie Harry Potter was filmed. I took that picture too, but it was too far, and his portrait was too small, would be too small for you to really recognize. So I encourage you to go and find that portrait and just took a better picture than I did. The Methodist movement, the Great Church Revival, was possible because Wesley never gave up and persevered. Throughout the many years of opposition, he often turned to the words of Jesus known as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes found in the Gospel of Matthew. Today's scripture reading was especially comforting to him. So let us hear again the first half of the reading. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. It is natural. It is so natural for us to want to quit when we face criticism and opposition while leading others. A couple of weeks ago, I shared a story of Mr. Leland, a member of Ginghamsburg United Methodist Church in Ohio, who at the age of 93 was still making an effort to bring people to Christ every day by going out to a nearby coffee shop and seeking an opportunities to strike conversation with strangers. When the church's lead pastor, Reverend Michael Slaughter, was sent there several decades ago, it was a congregation of less than 100 people in a small rural town. Then, not long after he arrived, he lost 2/3 of his members because of the major changes he led. Can you imagine the depth of his disappointment and fear? I'm sure he considered an appointment change request to his bishop, but he did not give up, but persevered. Now his church is one of the leading churches in our denomination with 5,000 plus worshipers every week. People who change the world are those who refuse to give up in the midst of opposition and persevere to the end with God's help. As the opposition diminished and the Methodist movement grew, no one would have blamed Wesley if he slowed down and relaxed and began to enjoy the fruits of his ministry. But it was not the story of John Wesley. That was not what he did. In his late 60s, Wesley began to speak out against the slave trade of his country. At the age of 84, he published an article on the issue of slavery. And at the age of 85, he preached a sermon against slavery in his church. Guess what happened? He recorded in his journal what happened in his congregation that day. A fight broke out between those who were in favor of slavery and those who were not during his sermon. And not only just verbal fighting, the pews were broken during their physical altercation. And yet, Wesley continued to speak out against slavery. Wesley never did retire from his ministry. He continued to preach almost to the end of his life. Just a few days before his death, he was preaching. When he died at the age of 87, he was surrounded by his friends, according to his friend and housekeeper, who recorded Wesley's last moments. He gathered his strength and said, "The best of all, God is with us." And just before he died, he tried to sing a song. He tried to sing Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll Praise My Maker While I Have Breath." But all he could say before his last, very last breath was, I'll praise. After Wesley's death, the church revival movement that he started continued to spread across America and other parts of the world, in Europe, in Asia, Africa, South America, and North America. And it is still spreading and growing. The faith journey, the faith Wesley lived was grounded in God's grace, prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. The Christian living Wesley modeled engaged both works of piety and works of mercy. The revival Wesley led was only possible as he completely surrendered his life to God and persevered to the end. As we too seek a revival in our hearts and in the life of our church and in the world, I invite you now to join me in praying one of the prayers John Wesley prayed. Let us pray. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee, or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee, or brought low by thee. Let me be full, let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and hurriedly yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine, so be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen.